It is that season now that we do celebrate the birth of Christ. It is this Christmas season, and there's a time when we gather up families and we have times of celebration where we come together and celebrate Christmas. And we find opportunities to share what Christmas really means, and we really find that when we come to church and we find out the whole Christmas story and all the things that pertain to Christmas. And most of us here, ever since we've been in this world, we have experienced know what Christmas, that we celebrate, know what Christmas is. But I want to remind you that this Christmas season is really about Jesus. It needs to be about Jesus because Christmas is really Jesus. We've been talking here in these last few weeks about hope and all that God had for mankind. But I want to remind you that even though we have Christmas and all that, that when Christ came, we do know that there were times when, because Christmas is that season of hope, and it is a season to remember that God loves us and sent His Son. But what we do also find here through Scripture is that we find that there were times when darkness tried to take out this plan of God's to bring us, so we call Christmas, but the birth of Christ. And we see it it started in ancient Egypt when the Pharaoh decided to take all the baby boys that were 2 years in that range group and all those newborns and just throw them in the Nile and to stop that Jewish lineage and that bloodline. We also see it in the Persians when the King Xerxes with Haman. Haman is the one who wanted to genocide all the Jews. He did that, but God used Queen Esther to speak to Xerxes and to stop that. And we see through time that darkness had tried to snuff out the Jewish lineage to stop this Messiah from coming. And we see even when Jesus was born, we see this whole thing when the Magi came from the east and spoke with King Herod and said, "Hey, don't you know that there is this king of God, this Messiah is to be born?" And King Herod didn't like that. He had a plan and he had all the baby boys, 2 years of age and younger, killed in the Bethlehem area to kill. The plan was to kill the gift of God. And we see this darkness continue to roll through, even through history. We see it go through in Germany when they did the Holocaust to kill all the Jews, just to continue to beat down on the lineage that God has with the Jewish people. But I want to remind you that God's plans come true. And we're going to look at some scripture today because darkness wants to keep people in the dark and into the sin. But God's plan is to bring hope, forgiveness, and salvation. Because that's what we need. So what we see here is I want to share some reasons why Jesus came. So what is the purpose? Why did Jesus come to earth? Why did he come here? Why did all this effort into all of this stuff? Why did darkness want to destroy all of this God's plan and all of that? Why did Jesus come from heaven down to earth? I'm going to give you five pieces today. I want to share five pieces with you here this morning. Now, hopefully that you understand. And I hope that you get to a place where, you know what, that you'll know by the end of this service, you know, maybe I might need to recommit my life to Christ. Maybe I need to take a second look at what I'm really doing in my life with this gift of salvation. Why did Jesus come from heaven to come to earth? Number one, these are in no particular order, but number one is to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies. There were so many prophets that were spoken upon those times that we see that they spoke about this coming of hope, this coming Messiah, this coming gift that God is going to give. It's big. And we've been talking about that these last few Sundays, about the prophetic pieces. This whole theme has been about the prophetic pieces, it seems, since we've been in December. But here it is in Matthew 5, verse 17. It says, Jesus says, "Don't think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." To fulfill the things that God had pre-planned. God's plans will always prevail. You may not agree with it, but it will prevail. You may not go along with it, but God's plan will prevail. You may not be a part of it, but God's plan will prevail. Because they always have and they always will. We have a problem with it. We continue to think we're up here with God. We're not. We are down here. Listen, if we got down to the very, very basics, God is our creator. We are the creation. He is our creator. And we struggle with that. We struggle with that. But even if you go deeper into the spiritual, you go deeper into some of the New Testament books, you'll find out that really, if you want to put yourself a notch, we are slaves and God is our master. But people, we don't like those titles. We don't like those titles. But if you know the God that you serve, those titles are awesome. When you understand what we really are and where God has actually brought us. It's amazing, but Jesus says this, "I didn't come to abolish, I come to fulfill." To fulfill the prophecies, to fulfill the law. Number two, Jesus came to do the Father's will. John 6:38 says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." When you give your life to Christ, you'll grow in your walk with Christ and you'll get to a place where you'll realize that your life is not your own anymore. But it is what God has willed for you. When you want to grow in your walk with Him and you want to mature in your walk with Christ, you will realize that your life is not your own. That it was bought with a price. And we see that we struggle with that one as well. We see because we have a flesh will. We have a will that in the flesh that wants, we want to do our thing. We want to do what we want to do. And some of us, if we keep doing what we want to do, we will not be in a good place in the future. But I will tell you this, if you do what God has planned for you, you will find that God has something much more better than you can plan, than you can ever imagine and ever plan. God is an amazing God and His plans will prevail. And His will must happen. His will happen whether you're a part of it or not. And His will is strong. His will is real. His will is honest. It is righteous. It is what is best. And when we don't do God's will, we fight against God's will. And the world didn't want God's will. Doesn't want the prophetic pieces to happen. So it continued to fight against God, fighting against God's people, trying to keep Jesus from being born. Not just in the time of King Herod, but also in the time of, as we said before, the time of the Persians with Haman, the time of King Xerxes. And you'll find also that prior to that, even was in the time of the Egyptians. God's plans will happen. I know that when we first started New Life Fellowship, and New Life Ministries, I know this. And when it came to New Life Fellowship, I was told that, oh, you're going down to Huntington and you're going to start a church there. You're going to do this. We didn't know what we were doing. We just knew we were starting a church. But then I had people that were telling me that it wasn't going to happen. We began to do these ministries that we do, and people began to tell us that you guys are too small. You don't have the education experience level to do the things that you have. Your plan is too big. Your plan is bigger than the amount of money you have in your church. You don't even own your own building yet, and you're already renting buildings to do ministry. It doesn't make no sense. Jimmy, you're the holy roller. You're this charismatic. You don't fit in the Bible, the Baptist bookshelf type thing. But I'm going to tell you, if it's God's will, it will happen. And it is happening. And it has happened. And it continues to happen. And that is not a prideful peace upon ourselves. It is this. When you do what God's will is, you'll see God work. When you do what God's will is in your life, you'll begin to have testimonies in your life. You'll begin to see that your life is different than it was 5 years ago and 10 years ago. You'll see that God's will is a better plan than your own. And you'll see not only that, you'll see that and have testimonies when you follow God's will, but you also will have prayer and more answered prayer because you're doing God's will. And you pray about the things that God has in front of you, and you continue to do that. So each time we come into these Christmas seasons, I've always reminded, this is a reminder of my own salvation and the purpose of why Jesus came. He came to fulfill those prophecy pieces. He came to do the Lord's will. Number three, Jesus came to preach the gospel. Jesus came to preach the gospel. Here it is in John 6:38. He says, "For I have come down from heaven, not by my own will, but his will." And I just read that. Here we go. Luke 4:43 says this. "But he said to them, 'I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent.'" And Jesus is preaching in the city and they want him to stay, but he said, "I have to go to these other cities because that is the purpose I have been sent, is to preach the gospel. It is to share the gospel." This church has to continue to share the gospel. It has to continue to share the story of what Christmas really is and what it is all about. The gospel is the story of Jesus Christ, the fall of man and the salvation of God through Christ. It is the gospel. And I pray that you have the gospel today, knowing that you have salvation in your own life. Number four, Jesus came to sacrifice himself for the sins of mankind. Jesus came to sacrifice himself for the sins of mankind. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have fallen short of the glory of God." We've all fallen short. We have all sinned. We are all sinners. And I know sometimes we don't like, you get this preaching style where we're always sinners. We're always talking about sinning. We're just sinning. We're nothing. Or you get this other style of preaching where it's like, hey, we're beyond that. We're this, we're that. We're the esteem of God. We're the enlightened ones of God. And so there's a far extreme on each side. Here it is. This is what we know through Scripture. We are all sinners. Unfortunately, we're going to continue to sin while we're on this side of heaven. We're going to continue to sin. But we know this, that our sins are forgiven, but we have that salvation. And we need to remember that we are sinners, that we come from the dust of the ground, that we are sinners, and we are far from God, but through Christ that we have come to God, that we come to God through Christ, and we have salvation. And we have that, and we are children of God. So we can take that title too. But I always must remember that God is at the top and I am at the bottom. For when you think you are even with God, you are in the wrong place, brother. You're in the wrong place. The next breath you breathe is given to you by God. Honestly, what has you ever given to God that God needs from you? What have you given to God that He really needs? Nothing. But God loves us, amen? God loves us. So Jesus came to sacrifice Himself for the sins of the world. 1 John 4:10 says this, "In this act we see what real love is. It is not our love for God, but His love for us when He sent His Son to satisfy God's anger against our sins." Yes, our sin does anger God. But Christ forgives. And the Bible says when He forgives, He also forgets. He casts our sins as far as the east is from the west and remembers them no more. And God is able to do that because He is God. He is able to do that because we ask. He is able to do that because we have Christ in our life and we have that salvation. Number five is this, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Are you getting the theme here? Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost." These are not my words, these are just scriptural words today. He came to seek and save that was lost. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this saying is true, is trustworthy, and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then he says, and I am the worst of them. Paul says that trustworthy and deserving of all acceptance, Christ came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. There is no other gift under heaven that is so beautiful than the gift of Jesus Christ. The gift that God came and sent His Son down here. I don't understand why He sent His Son here. Except that the Scriptures tells us, for God so loved the world. It tells us that God loved the world, that He sent His only Son. I'm still moved, and I still have to step back to Genesis chapter 6 when God said He grieved that He made man. For every thought in the man's mind was evil. That means he grieved. He's like, why did I? He just grieved so much hate and anger in those days. Violence, sinfulness, wickedness, and evil was all in man's thought. And God saw a man named Noah. There's righteousness there. And God used that man. And God loved the world, and He sent His Son. And He sent His Son into the world. And the first thing the world wanted to do was to kill the baby. That's what the leadership of the world wanted to do. You won't find a lot of leadership in the world wanting Jesus Christ. Because men love power. Men love money. Men love fame. They like their name in the marquee lights. They love to be lifted up. Well, there's only one name to be lifted up, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. I sit there and I watch all of these things that go on in the world today. I sit there and I watch I've seen like the Academy Awards, they do the Oscars. I've seen, you know, every time a football or a basketball team wins, it's a big celebration, and all these artists go home with all kinds of awards, and they get these mantles and certificates and just awards, and every game a pro wins. It's a celebration and all those things. If there's one thing that we need to learn is to celebrate in the church. That's one thing that we should be able to learn from. We struggle with it. But when I look at all of that, and I look and I see that God says that He stores up great rewards for us. We're doing our work right now. We're serving God right now. Those who you that have salvation are serving God right now. You may not think that the reward that God has for you might not be much. I'm telling you, it's going to blow you away. Scripture gives us little faint pieces in the book of Revelation about the end time. And it gives us all about this thing that Jesus says to store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust doesn't have any effect. We have a life to live right here. I've celebrated almost 60 Christmases. Some of you celebrated more than that. Some of you are just getting started. Let me ask you something. Can you remember something that you got from Christmas 10 years ago? Probably not. I mean, unless your wife bought you a car or something, you might remember that, or your parents gave you a house or something big. Can you remember what your wife or what your spouse gave to you last year, 2 years ago? Can you remember? Probably not. Can you remember what you got when you were a kid? Can you remember? You might remember one or two things, but you can't remember all. You don't remember all of those, but I can tell you what, as a believer in Christ, you can remember that one gift that God gave to you. And that is salvation. And it is real. And you'll never forget it. And it is for eternity. It is forever. Because it wasn't bought by MasterCard. It wasn't bought with a Visa card. It wasn't bought with all the money that you have. And it wasn't bought with that 40 bucks that you went out and worked overtime to get your kids. It wasn't bought with that. It was even bought with something more precious than that. It was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So it makes it the most important gift. It makes it the everlasting gift. It makes it the gift of all Christmases. It's the gift that God gave to mankind. And he lays it out there. And it's in a package form. It's in Scripture. It tells us in the package form. And the package form is the words and the things that we tell you, but it was lived out. That Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem. Joseph and Mary and this animal stable, and it tells us the great story. It's laid out, and it goes all the way to the cross, where Jesus was crucified on the cross, was sinless, but yet dying for the sins of all of us, buried in the tomb, but raised on the third day, because death could not hold him. What a Christmas gift. It is there to be unpackaged. It is unpackaged and is there for each person to receive. The most beautiful gift that God has ever given to man. To live with Him. To go coexist with Him for eternity and beyond eternity, which we don't understand. But God just says, trust Him. We are called to trust Him. It's where our faith comes from. We're to have faith. The sad part of it is that not all people have received that gift. But the gift is still there. But not all people have received the gift. So they continue to live in the world just as we do. And they continue to live out their life. And the highest moments in life is maybe a ward. Maybe a pay raise. Maybe becoming a father, a grandparent. And then it all ends. We don't know when it ends. But it will all end. And the body is taken to the gravesite, put in the ground. But there's something that God did, and when He created man, He breathed the living spirit into that man. God designed that man to live forever. And that soul of a person lives on. And there is a thing called separation from God. A person that does not have Jesus Christ is separated from God for eternity and beyond. You know what the hardest thing in hell has to be? That there is no hope. There is no Jesus coming, and God is not going to help. Why we're on this side of the earth, why we're on this side of heaven, why we're still living and breathing, we are called to receive that gift. And we're also not just called to receive that gift, but once we receive that gift, we're also called to share that gift. How do we share that gift? We are just called to share it. To share the story of the gift. Some of us haven't shared that story in a long time. Because ever since COVID, we love to stay in our homes and not go out and meet people and see people anymore. We have stayed in our own cocoons, in our own caves, in our own homes. This is a great work of the darkness to keep us from sharing, to keep us from being the light in the darkness. But we are called to be the light in the darkness, to shine and to share this gift that we call Christmas. I've had this gift since I was 12 years old. And it has been inside of me since I was 12 years old. And I believe in what Ephesians says, I am sealed to the day of redemption. I am sealed to that day. If you have Christ, you are sealed until that day. You are sealed and you will go home with the Lord. And when you are sealed, you are part of the family. The Bible calls us that we are children of God. Ambassadors of Jesus Christ. But I have to be honest, I haven't always lived like that. Haven't always lived for Jesus. Yet I still have the gift. I haven't always done what He's called me to do, yet I still have the gift. The Bible tells us in James, it tells us the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You'll know when you're not walking with the Lord well, but you're still praying and you're finding your prayers going like this and there's no power in them. I know what that's like to pray and there's no power in the prayers. It wasn't that God wasn't powerful, it's just my life wasn't powerful. I wasn't living the righteous life. And I want to remind you that even though you have the gift, it doesn't mean that everything in front of you is great. You still have to drive forward. You still have to try to be all that God has called you to be. And there I found myself having to recommit my life to the Lord. Especially in my younger days, I had to recommit myself to the Lord a couple of times. Didn't need the salvation. I already had that, but I had to recommit my life to the Lord. And I know this, that those special days like Easter and Christmas that we're celebrating now means more to me when I'm living my life for the Lord. And when I'm not living for the Lord, I find myself moving away from the things of God. Because the Holy Spirit puts a guilt and messes with us and pokes us and reminds us that we are not to live that way, but to live for the Lord and be a bright star for Him in a dark world. Jesus came to fulfill the prophecies, and He did that. He came to fulfill the Lord's will, the Father's will, and He did that. Jesus came to preach the gospel. He did that. Jesus came to sacrifice Himself for the sins of mankind. He did that. And Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for you and I today. Jesus was perfect. And God gave the perfect gift. Yet we find ourselves unperfect, flawed, damaged goods, island of broken toys. We are bruised and we are messed up and we are sinful. But it also reminds me of God's great love, that God so loved the world, that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 5:12 says, He that has the Son of God has life, and he that does not have the Son of God does not have life. Right down the middle. It must be time to choose who you shall serve. And when you find out who you shall serve, when you pick the Lord and you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you will understand and your eyes will open to truly what Christmas really means. That Christmas isn't just a day. Christmas lives in you every day. Every day Christmas pumps life in you every day. But for some of us, we may need to recommit our hearts and our spirit back to the Lord. The Lord saved us, but we're not living like we're saved. We have salvation, but we're not living like we have salvation. We're living, but we're just living. I believe as a Christian, it doesn't matter how much you make, doesn't matter the situations, when you're living for the will of God, you're not living, you're thriving. The world may see that you may only make $25,000 a year, but if you're following the Lord, He'll say, you're thriving. The world looks at money and dollars and looks at things. Everything's a picture of what they can see. But God looks on the inside. What does He see? And He should see a reflection of Himself. He should see His Holy Spirit. He should see Christmas. He should see the story of Easter that lives in your heart every single day. And if it doesn't, maybe you as a believer need to recommit yourself to God today. Get your life back on the right road. You know what it's like. This is anything I tell anybody that's ever talked to me and we've had a conversation about recommitment. I always say this. You know what it's like to walk with the Lord, don't you? Yes, I do. Believers know what it's like to thrive with the Lord. Sadly to say, we also know what it's like to look like we're surviving. And that's not how the Lord made it to be. Today, if you don't have Christ, I want to remind you today, as I've said earlier, Jesus came to save, to seek and save those that are lost. Seek and to save those who are lost. But also, I believe the Christmas story is a reminder for those of the believers that we need to recommit ourselves to God and start afresh. Start anew. Get my life right back with Him where it needs to be. God is preparing to take us into some new areas in the new year. And I'm excited. I don't know what it all is, but I know this. The ship needs a crew that's dedicated to Jesus. That has a commitment to fulfill the Lord's will. Whatever that will may be, we need to be a part of it. Amen? Father, as we begin to prepare ourselves for an altar, we just pray, Father, today that you'd use this altar for your well-being and your purposes and your will upon us today, whether one needs to have salvation or one that needs to recommit their life or one that just needs to praise you. We lift this time up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's